provided medically and grew until we were there in starting 2000 or middle of 2007. We got to hear about Bless China and we liked what we heard. We came back to Perth. I was pastoring at Claremont Baptist Church and the church was growing. The leaders were doing a fantastic job and it was very obvious that I wasn't needed there, that things were going really well. So it was a very easy decision for us. So August 2008, we moved to Kunming, and I still haven't learnt all these years of being a Christian. I like to advise God and tell God, these are the things that I plan doing for you, so just please give me your seal of approval, we'll all be happy, because I know best. And so my plan was to live in Kunming for 2 years, get some language under my belt, and then I would teach English at the university. So we arrived, I'm really gung-ho, ready to go. And what had happened, our company had grown very quickly, and a lot of promises were made by people that really were never going to get fulfilled. And so people came to our province, and we're only based in Yunnan province, with a lot of expectations that were never going to be realized. And some of those people had never really carefully been scrutinized. And any of you that have lived overseas, you know that people can get to these places and what the heck are they doing here? They've got so many issues. They should have dealt with those before they left their home country. And I think maybe some of their churches, some of their organizations were very happy to get them out of their home country and hopefully they'll get sorted out in China. Well, cross-culturally, there's a lot of pressure. You know, those problems exponentially just blew out of total proportion. And so I was asked to head up pastoral care and to actually get involved in meeting people. And so I very quickly became the bad cop that was traveling around to the 8 cities in our province asking people hard questions. And I just arrived, right? And so why are you here? Rob and Janice, why are you here? What did your company think about sending you when you had these marriage problems for 10 years and you're at loggerheads, you're beating your wife or you're beating your husband and you haven't got any money, you know? And so we're asking all these questions. And so I had to shelve a lot of my language studies and my ideas of getting involved in teaching English at university simply to be a pastor and go around to these 8 cities. So over the first 3 years that we were there, I was involved in supporting the 80 or so expats that lived in these 8 cities and about 180 local staff through translators, you know, working together with expats. And so that was the first 3 years. In 2010, the government approached us and said, would you be interested in developing a foster children program? They were into developing an orphan prevention ministry. No child grows up in a bedroom with 15 other roommates, rarely. I come from a fairly poor family. I grew up in a bedroom with the three of us, my two brothers and I shared a bedroom. That was about as big as it got. Maybe you came from that similar kind of background, but orphanages are closing. Governments are trying and institutions are trying to get children into local homes. And so the government, knowing that we were a Christian organization, said, would you go to the city of Wenchang? Whoops. How do I go back? I lost it all. Bryce fell.
What did you press?
I pressed the slide we're showing in the one before.
No, it's showing up there. Well, yeah, you talk.
Anyway, I'll talk. Yeah, I'm good at that. So the government asked for us to move down to the city of Wenchang. And so two women, Pam and Chong, moved down to actually get involved with the government authorities to close down the orphanage. And so these two women moved down there. Unfortunately, the director of the orphanage, this is our city that we live in, Wenchang, that you saw the video of. Yep. So this is the video is of our city, Wenchang. It looks like we are sitting in the crater of a volcano, that there is a circle of mountains all the way around the city. And so you can see some of the mountains We live in this apartment block just up top there, and it's a very beautiful city. The weather is great. 9 months of the year we have about 28 to 30 degrees. It's subtropical. It's 3 hour drive from the Vietnam border. We are way down in the southwest of China. And so Pam and Chong moved down to actually help close the orphanage, but the director and a few of her cronies were pocketing quite a lot of the money, and so they had a vested interest in keeping this orphanage open. The orphanage is still open after 4 years that Pam and Chong have been down there. However, a new director has come. She's much more open to getting help, and so some children now are actually being adopted out into foreign families as well as local families. So 2011, Pam and Chong asked if Janice and I would move down, and so we moved down to Wenshan middle of 2011 to just provide some pastoral care to both these young women, as well as some support and other opportunities that were there. In our city, there are 70 expats. There are two Brazilians, one girl from Finland. There's a gentleman from England, two token Aussies, and the rest are Americans. Two of those families, two American families, have 9 children, and one of them we think is shooting for their 10th because she only has 2 boys and she actually wants 3. That family's back in the States right now. And so Janice and I are the surrogate grandparents, pastors, babysitters, marriage counselors, advisors, confidants, coffee makers, etc. And so, and we're happy with that. We're the seniors by about 25 years to all of the young couples that are there. And so we're very happy to embrace that role. So that's part of our work there. I want to show you and introduce you to a couple of the people that are in our town. This is Chung Hui. Chung Hui is from a minority group. She had primary school education and then had to look for a job. And so she belongs to a particular minority group that an American couple, Brant and Melanie, had moved into our city to actually reach out to. In China, there are about 56 major ethnic minority groups. And in our province, at least 26 of those minority groups live. And about 25 of them live around the area where we are. We live in the poorest province of China, and where we live is actually the poorest part of the poorest province of China. It's a very poor agricultural area. And so Chung Hui was part of that. She comes from a village, a small village. She came into the city. She's shopping with her mum one day, and they're chatting away. Brant and Melanie happen to be in the same market, and they hear Chung Hui and her mum talking, and they went up and started talking in her dialect. Chung Hui was quite blown away by that. They got talking. Over a period of a couple of weeks, Brant and Melanie asked if Chung Hui would actually help them with their language development. Would she be a language helper? Which she was very happy to do. As they got talking with her, they realized that she was looking for work, so they offered her a job as a full-time housekeeper to come into their home. They have, Brant and Melanie have 2 children. It wasn't necessary for them to have a housekeeper, it was more to spend more time with her and pay her to actually spend time with them and develop their language, but also an opportunity for them to share their faith. And so, over a two-year period, Chung Hui came to faith, as did her husband and also her family. So this is Chung Hui's husband with the Red Cross. He's actually got a backpack behind him. So Chung Hui and her husband, Lu Shui, the guy in the black. Lu Shui translated means 6 handsome. 6 times handsome. And he's very modest about repeating that quite a few times when you meet him. But both Chung Hui and Lu Shui have come to faith, and Chung Hui now heads up Wycliffe, have a division called SIL, and Chung Hui is now involved full time in doing Bible translation into her people's language. Her husband Lu Shui, his full time job is a builder, but he's also a local church leader. and has done incredible work over the last couple of years, to the point now that they have split their home church into two. So there's around about 40 people that Cheng Hui and Lu Shui have led to Christ over the last couple of years. Within their people group, they go into their villages, are leading Bible studies, and seeing a lot of people come to faith. They've also, through a few ups and downs of their own, have starting to develop a marriage counselling ministry. There are a lot of pressures on village people, financially, educationally, socially, and so Cheng Hui and Lu Shui have got very much involved in marriage counselling. Their dream, Cheng Hui and Lu Shui's dream, is to see schools, primary schools, in each of their villages, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a few minutes. This is Xiaofeng. Xiaofeng comes from a different minority group. She's a very bright and bubbly lady. And when she was around 18, she got pregnant. And joy of joy, she's having twins, which was a wonderful experience for them as a family, but also for them as a community and as a village. The daughter was born first. She was breech. And so the local midwife birthed Fei Yan by her feet. Her feet came first, so she was birthed, taken away, but unfortunately the other twin, the little boy, he died at birth. Babies are carried in China a lot when they're young. You'll often see them mostly with a backpack, sometimes with a front pack. So Fei Yan, for the first year and a half, when she was in her house, and this is her house, it's a very poor mud floor. This is Fei Yan when she was about two. When they started standing her up, she would always let her legs collapse. And so they found out at birth that both hips were dislocated. So her hips had never developed, her muscles had never developed. She couldn't walk, and so she hopped on her knees. That was how she moved around the house, in the mud, in the street, outside. She played on her knees, an amazing young woman, young girl. Two American men who had come to our city to reach out to this particular minority group were in Xiaofeng's village. They met her, heard her story, and they said, "Oh, do you know that Bless China, the company that we're a part of, has started a rehabilitation clinic?" And they've been trained in physiotherapy, they will help you. And so Xiaofeng thinks, wow, you know, is there possibly some hope for me, but also for my daughter, that she could have a normal life? Praise God, a physiotherapist from Tennessee, Catherine Ellis, was sacrificing her career in a later age. She was in her 50s. She came to live in our province for 2 years and actually go around to the centres where we had rehab clinics, training all of our local staff. And she happened to be in town around the same time that Fei Yan came to the rehab centre. And so began a very long and a very painful process for Fei Yan to learn how to walk. Xiaofeng, as she was coming to the centre each day, we had rented an apartment in town. So the people like her that really are quite poor would have somewhere to stay. She's in the centre each day and saying, "Well, what can I do? You're doing all this for free. I don't understand why you do this for free." And so our team is saying, "It's the love of Jesus that constrains us to do this for free. What can I do?" And so she realised that we have a floor that's made out of rubber tiles, because as children with CP having physio, they often fall over, so we wanted to make their falling over as comfortable as possible. So it's a very soft rubber floor. So Xiaofeng said, "I know what I can do. I can clean the floor every afternoon." So the team was happy to do that. Our team are having their Bible study and devotions and prayer. She's hearing herself being prayed for. She's hearing about the Bible being spoken of in Chinese. And she's going home to her village at the end of the week and telling her husband, Xue Zhong, about this God who is a loving God, who is a caring God, who is seemingly a happy God, that's reaching out to Chinese people with this amazing love, that he actually came to earth as a person to bring people into relationship with him. Now, if you've ever been to a Chinese home, and if you've ever been to China, maybe a traditional restaurant, often when you walk into the house, you'll actually have to step over, whether it's a wooden plank that might actually be a beam that high. You'll actually step over that to come into, through the door. That's deliberate. That's to stop all the slithery guys from coming in the house. This is true. Right. Then you may see above the door, there will be a small mirror. That's to stop all the ugly guys from getting in. So when they look up and see themselves, you know, it's so ugly. It's a bit like I wake up ready to shave in the morning. Who's that? You know. But this mirror is put there to keep the guys away. So Chinese mentality is, I want to stay under the radar of any gods. I don't want to get any attention from any of these gods. They are fearful of their gods. And so to hear that God is a loving God that reaches out, that wants a relationship with each of us, this is mind-blowing to Xiaofan and to most Chinese. That here is a loving God that reaches out to them, who is seeking them to come into relationship with Him. And so, in Easter 2011, we were down in Wenchang looking for an apartment. We had the privilege of being there that Easter to see Xiaofan come to faith, and then on Easter Sunday, Xiaofan and Xue Zhong get baptized. This is Fei An. She's now 6 and a half and walking. Because of the physiotherapy that's been done, she has to wear these fiberglass splints around her ankles to force her heel to the floor. She still kind of walks tiptoes. She's learning to actually, this splint forces her foot to the floor. We've had special shoes made for her. And so now she's walking, and the normal life, she's in grade two and cheeky, which I love. She gives me a lot of lip. And my nickname is Big Watermelon. So she calls me Nasiguayeye. So I'm Big Watermelon Granddad. We love her to bits. We need physiotherapists. We need speech therapists. We need occupational therapists. We need medical staff. We need dentists. We need people who can come with those specialities and train people. Train the local people to how to do this work. Train the family so they know how to care for their kids. The good news is that Fei An is walking. Xue Zhong, the husband, has a full-time job. No longer is he gambling and drinking away all of the money that he earns. He has a steady job, and he's very much involved in the leadership of the local church. Xiaofan has been trained to take leadership of our rehab center. But unfortunately, because she grew up in a village and really had no exposure to the world has become very important to her, very seductive. So she's actually left her husband and her daughter and has moved away from our province and is now living with another man, has turned her back away from her Christian faith, from her family, from the potential that she has to be involved in ministry, heading up our rehab center. So I ask, please, if you remember anything about today, remember Xiaofan, and please pray for her, that that she would come back into a relationship with Jesus. So the rehab center is really pumping. It's going great. Our company, we have a couple of policies. One is that we always tell the truth. Yes, we are a Christian organization. Yes, I want to see people come to faith. The second is that we never pay bribes. China is a very corrupt country. The new president, Xi Jinping, is making huge inroads into that corruption. And he's been in power for a year now, and there's been a huge difference. It's really markedly noticeable. Things have very, very much changed. It's much, much better and much easier to deal with government, but corruption still exists. And so things take a while if you don't lubricate. Mingguat, do you understand? Peaceful solution, they call it in Indonesia. A lot of stuff under the table. So we don't play those kinds of games. And so it's taken us 2 years to register our rehab center with a couple of local people as the leadership, still funded by Bless China. We will fund this rehab centre until 2017, and then the local church is expected to take it over completely. But right now, Zhang Jie and Gao Qing, a man and a woman, the lady, Zhang Jie, her daughter comes to our rehab centre. She was the second woman who became a Christian through the ministry of the rehab centre. So Zhang Jie and Gao Qing was a doctor, but doctors are corrupt in China. They get a commission on everything that they do, and so they over-treat and over-prescribe. And so a white coat and a stethoscope means money. And so we have to think twice about ever going to get healthcare in hospital in China, about how much do we need and how much are they wanting to give us. So Gao Qing quit because of the corruption in the medical system. And so we have this mother who has a heart for children and a doctor who has a heart for the kingdom of God are now heading up our rehab centre. So Pam, who was the lady that was sent down in 2010, and we started talking about, okay, the rehab centre is moving, we're in the process of registering that for locals, what do we do now? Everywhere we go in the city, our city's about 350,000, we often get stopped and saying, would you teach me English? Or would you teach my son? Would you teach my daughter? And so we thought, well, maybe we should explore the opportunity of teaching English. Around about that same time, within about a week, we had a phone call from a Canadian couple, and they said, we're moving from the city, we're going to another province. We have a business as a training center teaching English. Would you be interested to buy it? Which we did. We just saw that it was God's opportunity. There's too much coincidence for that to be anything but God. And so, so Pam and I, we bought this company. We changed the name and changed the ownership. And because that we wouldn't work on peaceful solutions, that took us only 4 months to change the name of the company and change the name of the two owners of the company. That only took 4 months. Did you hear the cynicism? So, we have this business. What's that? No different belly. So we had this business. We thought, well, we better get trained. So Pam and I did an English as a second language course. So that was completed over about 6 months. And then we found this ideal site. We thought, we'll go into the business and we'll rent this and everything's hunky-dory. Until we found out that we couldn't rent. The only way we could get this site was to buy it. And we had prayed about this site and we just felt this was right. But we didn't have the money to buy it. So Pam goes back to her hometown of San Diego, and in her church there are a number of Chinese people, and men are all called uncles, and women are aunties. So Pam has this Taiwanese, Chinese-born uncle that owns a couple of pharmaceutical companies in China. And he said to Pam, I believe you have a dream. I'd like to hear about that dream. So she told him about the dream. About 4 weeks later, he flew to our city for a day, saw it, and he said, yeah, I like what you've got, I'll buy it for you. And so Thursday, that was Saturday, on Thursday, his secretary comes with $250,000 in cash, bought it for us, as you do. And so he said, Uncle Bernard said, you pay me back interest-free over the next 30 years. You can pay it off sooner, well and good, but you've got 30 years to pay it off. And so began a journey. And so our school is called The Starting Line. We want it to be the start not only of a life change as far as learning English, but also for people to come to faith. And so when you buy a place, you get top left corner, you get a shell. And some of you may know my background was in architecture and interior design. And so with a friend of mine here in Perth, we were calling each other backwards and forwards, understanding Perth building codes about how big a room has to be, how many students can fit into 10 square metres, 20 square metres, how big the toilets have to be, exits, entries, lobbies, all that kind of stuff. So we set up this centre following Australian building code. So here we have it. We have a reception. There's three classrooms, a library, office, multimedia room, and we have a kitchen that's about 70 square meters. This whole complex is 400 square meters. And so we want, when people come, they actually come into a cultural center. It's not just a training center, but they learn cooking, they learn music, movies, all kinds of things that give them, when they walk in there, gives them a Western experience. And so already we've had an English day and an Italian day. We've made pizzas and focaccia. We've had an Aussie day with pies and muffins and Anzacs. And they love, this is the kitchen. So this is the lobby. As you walk in through the front door, this is what you see through here. So we opened that in March this year. It was very much a soft opening because Janice and I knew that we were coming back here in August for 6 months. And so we started very low key. Every summer from mid-July through to August, we run English language camps. That's the lobby now. We wanted the school, the training center, to look more like an office rather than a school. And it was very interesting having a clash with the tradesmen. In China, all the schools are painted yellow or orange or pink. And there's, you know, there's butterflies on the wall and dolphins and rainbows and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not into that. And so we said, no, we want it to look like that. And so we wanted green walls. Green walls? You can't have green walls. Yes, I can. It's my money. Oh, okay. You won't like it. Okay. And then the timber paneling, that's all flooring. And of course, in China, the book says, and the box says, flooring. You can't use this for walls. This is for the floor. No, I want it on the wall. But it's flooring. Right. So I did all the plans, all the drawings. The tradesmen only had to pull down three walls out of the five because they put them in the wrong place, despite all the drawings, despite the chalk on the wall, right? And the tradesmen all around the world are the same. Oh, we've always done it that way. Or you'll like it this way, right? No, I don't. So we had to pull down three walls. And anyway, now, the builder brings his clients to show some work of what he's done, like this. So, we have English camps. This was one of the groups that we had English camp in July. This is a team down the bottom front here. It was a team from Hawaii. This lady is a native Hawaiian, and it's her husband is the founder of our company, Bless China. So Noe is from the island of Maui, and this is a group from her church. And we would love you to consider coming up to help teach English. If you think you're too old, Mabel just had her 80th birthday. She was a couple of weeks after they went back in early August. She turned 80, so if she can do it, I reckon any of us can. So, we are wanting teachers to come up. Ideally, if you are ESL trained, please consider coming for a semester, which is 14 weeks. We would like you to come from September next year. We're going back in March. We are going to advertise pretty heavily about our training center. We have not advertised this at all, but we can only grow if we have people to come and help us grow as far as reaching out into the community. We have set this company up to make a profit, but Pam and I have committed not to take a salary. We are self-funded. We are supported in part by a few friends here in Perth, as well as renting out our house. So we are not taking any money. The money that we get from the starting line, and already we're making a profit, despite between us only having 12 students, we can make a profit already. Not only paying Bernard, not only paying all our taxes and logistics, but we can also make a profit. So already we're funding the rehab center. And it's going to go gangbusters, I really believe. We are the only school in town where both Pam and I are native English speakers, and that's our selling point. Chinese people are usually leading most of the other schools, and their pronunciation is terrible. We want people who can speak English as their first language come up and help us, whether that's a week or two during the summer or for a longer period of time. So please please think about that. If you came next year, you would need to fund yourself. And for Janice and I, our budget for each year, which we never meet, but our budget is about $30,000 a year. That's for accommodation, our rent of our home, air tickets. The biggest cost is medical insurance. Where we are is very isolated. If there is a flight, it's only once a day, if it doesn't get cancelled. And so if you have an accident or you need surgery and it's near the time of the flight, great. You can get to Kunming and then out to Hong Kong or to Thailand. If you can't get out, then you've got to drive up to the city, or we can call on medical evacuation and a flight will come just for you and take you out of our town. And that's happened a couple of times already with people, not with us. So it's important. So a couple will need around $30,000 a year. Certainly the first year, if you're planning to come for a year or more, you'll need $30,000 to set up home, buying furniture and all that. After you've done that, it gets a lot easier financially. This lady, her name is Emily. Emily owns a tea shop in the town. We met her through English Corner every Sunday afternoon from 3 till 5. We run a free English Corner where people come and just talk in English and chat with us. We just have a few questions or statements and then get people to start talking. Emily came along and we got to know her through the English Corner. She was my first client. I've been teaching her one-to-one, 10 hours a week, from February through until August or end of July when we left. She's engaged to an English doctor who lives in Wales, so she's wanting to learn authorised English. I call British English authorised English. American is the unauthorised English.
And Australian,
yeah. And so I'm teaching her authorised English, and Emily has become a really good friend of ours. She's 25 years old. She has just passed all her IELTS tests, so she can now get a fiancé visa, heading off to England sometime next year. She's very motivated, self-taught a lot about learning English. Her family and her are very generous. We've eaten in her home a number of times, as she has with us, as her mum has as well. She knows we're Christians. She asks a number of questions about our faith, and her closest friend in town is also a Christian. So we're praying for Emily this Christmas as she goes to church with this girl, Luda, may come to faith. So the church in China, Christmas and Easter are very important times for them for outreach. This is Henry. I couldn't find another photograph. I thought I had another one of him. Henry is my closest friend in Wenchang. He is a property developer. He is a very wealthy man. And women, just because you hear this doesn't mean that it applies to you here in Perth. But Henry, for his wife's 40th birthday, bought her a 5 Series BMW. That's the kind of guy that he is. And I'm sorry to build up your expectations for your birthdays coming soon. But Henry is a true communist. And I've only met one, and that's him. In that he says, Rob, if you need a car, call me and I'll give you a car. If you need a car to drive anywhere, if you don't want to drive, call me and I'll send a driver. So he's very generous towards us. He has this one son, Joshua, who is 16, and next month he's going to California to finish his high school to lead into university. And so I'm teaching Henry unauthorized English as he's preparing to live in the United States, or at least visit for a period of time. He's a very staunch Buddhist. When we went to his home in February this year for Chinese New Year, he said, Rob, I'm going to have to leave you in the sitting room for about an hour or so. And his whole family went up to their altar room, and they have a room that's maybe 5 meters by 5 meters. They have an altar, and they were burning incense and worshipping their ancestors, and spent a whole hour burning fake money worshipping. So he's a very staunch Buddhist. He's never asked me anything about our Christianity. He would probably be the one person that's been the most in our home. He sees a small cross sitting on a cupboard. He sees our Bibles out. He knows we're Christian. He has never asked any questions about that. I've asked him a number of questions about his Buddhist faith, but he really doesn't know too much about that. These people coming in, does that mean I have to close them? Yeah, all right. Moving very quickly along. God is calling people to the cross, as you saw on the video. God is doing amazing things in China. The church in the city that we live is blossoming. It's really growing quickly. And a lot of people are coming to faith. We might ask ourselves when we hear God tap us on the shoulder or ask us to come and do something different, well, who am I? And we'll come up with all kinds of strings of excuses, thinking, oh, I can't do that. So I just turned 65 a couple of months ago. Yes, I know, it's shocking, isn't it? I felt a bit the same. I was speechless myself when I realized it. But in China, people retire at 55. And so we've met quite a lot of people who are in shops around us, and they say, tell them we started an English school. Come along. Oh, no, I'm too old. I'm 55. And so I show them my driver's license. You know, I'm nearly 65. I'm learning your language. You know, maybe you can make a bit of an issue to try to learn English. Bit of a joke, really. But of course, we all have excuses. Oh, I can't possibly because... We have a string of excuses. You know, I don't have a gift that God can use in China or even in Perth. Well, let me tell you about Drew very quickly as I finish. Drew is an American friend. He's a skateboard champion. He was in the States. And he uses his skateboard as an opportunity to reach out to teenagers, so much so that Li Ning, which is the major clothing company and footwear company in China, now sponsor him to go all over China for skateboard exhibitions. And when he's not skateboarding, he's talking to all these young kids about what Jesus means to him, and he's seen quite a few people come to faith. Then there's a young bloke called James. On the video you may have seen there was a fair bit of footage in an auditorium, and there were a lot of young people sitting. You remember that? Yep. James came with a rock band from Florida. And they just said, we're putting on some free concerts at the university. Well, he is famous in our town. So he and his wife have just arrived. They're going to base themselves right by the uni and use their music as a way to reach out to the community, teaching music as well as performing and getting young locals to join their band. And then two friends that we also know have opened a jazz ballet studio, a dance studio, right by the university to reach out to young girls, young women. Right at the university. This is what missionaries look like these days. A skateboarder, a rock band, people that know how to dance. I'm a Baptist, you know, we don't dance. We have creative movement where in our churches. So I want to leave you with a challenge. You know, what is grabbing you about serving God? And what will it take for you to connect with God and get out there? Whether that's here in Mount Hawthorne or a bigger part of the world, that you can use your gift as a way to reach people in our broken, hurting world. Let me finish with a Bible reading and then I'll pray. This is what the Lord says. This is from Isaiah 43. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. Fear not. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Father, thank you for my sisters and brothers here at Mount Hawthorne. I thank you for the history that we have shared and the future that we share together in you. I pray your blessings over this fellowship. I pray, Father, next Sunday night for carols, that it's a wonderful opportunity for people to come together, to hear the gospel, for their interest to be tweaked, for them to know this life-changing message of Jesus. Father, I pray that you use my words to glorify your name, that, Lord, you would provoke and challenge us to be the people that you call us to be, a people of the light, a people of the way. We Thank you in Jesus' name.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for the challenge. Are you having a chat with people in morning tea?
Either here or up in China.
Yeah. Sounds good. Okay, let's finish with a just brief prayer, and you're very welcome to join us for morning tea, isn't it? Yeah. Thank you that you call us all. We remembered you today, Jesus. Thank you for your love, your birth, your life, your death, your resurrection, for sharing your gifts with us. We bring ourselves to you and thank you that you go with us into the future. In Jesus' name.
Paul, can we switch this off?